Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Redmen TV. Yes, it's the match preview show ahead of West Ham versus Liverpool. Saturday afternoon, 12:30 kickoff, the dreaded 12:30 kickoff. I'm Steve Hope, joined by George and by Sam to have a chat about it. I'll be honest, lads, when I booked you on this show, the stakes of this game felt a little bit higher. Obviously, what's happened in midweek kind of lessens that, Sam. But Jürgen said today, you know, he's not waving any white flags. It's unlikely that, you know, the other teams will lose the games, is what it is. He also mentioned actually there's something to play for in terms of making just double down on the fact that you've got to still finish in the top four. It is unlikely that Tottenham could get a swing 15 points on Liverpool, It is what it is. That they've got a couple of games to play. But it just feels like a palate cleanser. Really, Liverpool need to just get back on track and end this season well, rather than, because it's already petered out. It's in danger of seriously petering out.
Oh, absolutely. I think not only do you want to see something different after what happened on Wednesday, is obviously, look, you can't give up. Like, if we were 9 points behind with four games to go, like Feyenoord are in their league, it'd be different. But you've got to just be there. Like Klopp said in this press conference, we just need to be there. If there's a glimmer of hope, if there's a sniff, we've got to be ready to go again. You know, football's crazy. Things happen. Probably not going to happen, but they do. So we've just got to be ready to go. And for our own sake, like you say, we want Tottenham to think they can finish fourth. Please, third. Please do. But I just think for our own sake, we need to go to West Ham. Like we thought, probably George is saying, coming in, this is going to be the third game away from home. If we win this, we're right in it because of the week we've had. Four wins away on the bounce would be amazing, but you know, it is what it is, and you've got to take the ups and the downs. I just hope the lads can sort of, you know, refocus and get back on it. I
suppose, well, George, it is a difficult game. Like, West Ham away isn't easy for anyone. We'll touch upon them now. Their form is as patchy as Liverpool's, really. They have, you know, they lost the last two games, the four in all comps, including the two Leverkusen ties. They've had some good results. It feels like they, a little bit of European hangover as well. There's talk about their manager, which is mad. Like, he hasn't even said he's leaving, but they're already interviewing other people. Like, it does feel like West Ham are feeling the pinch now of the season, but they are still maybe in the outside, maybe possibility for a European place. They're currently eighth. It's not going to be an easy one, although it could. It's not like you're getting West Ham where they're fighting for something. It's a difficult one to get your hand on how they're going to be.
Yeah, I think they are still in that position where, for them, if they go out and win all of their games remaining, they can still qualify for Europe. So they do have something to play for, but it's been a bit of a weird season for West Ham in general, I think. Sort of just a bit up and down, a bit like us at times. But yeah, it's definitely not going to be easy. I think some of the pressure might be off now, knowing that sort of the league is probably just out of reach, unless obviously someone else slips up. It's definitely not in our hands now, so maybe the pressure will be off for us a bit, and you can just go there and play the great football that we know that Liverpool can play. But it's not a game that we can go into thinking, oh well, at least we've got an easy game now.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
they got battered by Crystal Palace, although that was Sunday.
Yeah,
Liverpool had a game Wednesday, so they've had a little bit of time to recover. Jared Bowen missed the game. You know, he's a doubt. We'll see how he is for that one.
That's big, it's
huge if he can't play, but we'll see if he can. But that's the thing here that you've got to take into account, and when we talk about Liverpool in a moment. But first on West Ham, the last time they won, they got a late winner at Wolves, April 6th. Then they got beaten in Leverkusen, beat at home by Fulham, drew with Leverkusen in a game, obviously they were 2-0 down from the first leg, and then got battered really by Crystal Palace, 5-2. But they have had that little break now, so it'll be interesting to see what their mindset's like and how fresh they are, because this is what happens when you're in Europe. Unfortunately, at this time of the season, things, when it goes wrong, it can go wrong pretty quickly, as we found out a little bit. It'll be interesting to see just what type of West Ham rock up on Saturday afternoon.
Yeah, funnily enough, like for my week, how I levelled it out was I was worried about Fulham because of the Thursday-Sunday thing. Yeah. I thought Everton would take care of itself, which it didn't, and then I would have been re-worried about West Ham again just because of the timing, but it's obviously flipped on its head a little bit. I think with West Ham, they are a funny team. You've got players there who are probably looking beyond West Ham. Kudos at some point might go. You've got Paqueta, and obviously, well, there was a period with Bowen, but I'm not sure whether he's ever going to sort of outgrow West Ham now. So they're also in a weird position. Like, the manager might be there, he might not. So are they playing for a new manager? We don't know. So I think there's vulnerabilities in West Ham where if Liverpool are able to do what we did, you know, Fulham, is enforce ourselves on the game and then maybe take an early lead or something like that, then it is a game where maybe it could get away from them because they're just not as motivated maybe. But look, there's enough opportunities, enough reasons where you could also say that if West Ham start well, the bubbles start blowing in the stadium and they get a goal, it suddenly puts us in the same situation we were in on Wednesday night almost. So I think this is about Liverpool and about how we take the game and to see which West Ham we get, if that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, they had the issue against Palace the other day. The team was interesting because they had Ogbonna and Zuma centre half. They hooked up one at half time.
Did they?
Yeah, they put Alan Cresswell in, but it didn't really end up working. They were four down, so they had to do something. But what they do have, George, and from a Liverpool point of view now, a team that we saw the other day has got vulnerabilities at the back in Antonio, Paqueta, Ward-Prowse, Kudus, maybe Bowen. We'll find out at time recording. They haven't confirmed whether he's going to play or not. Yeah, Suchek and Alvarez, zooming in the air from set plays, as we saw the other day. There's definitely a goal threat in West Ham. We've seen that all season. They've got some good players. Like Sam said, a couple of them might be on the move in the summer. If you're a Liverpool fan, I'm rightly so worried about defensively how we're performing at the moment. There's a lot of lads there who can hurt you.
Yeah, I think, Suchek and Zuma, both from set pieces, are really clinical for them. And, I mean, we saw against Everton how poorly we were defending them.
They've seen that. There's no way. David Moyes watched that game, and on Thursday and Friday, he's been drilling the set plays. And so he should, because Liverpool were a shambles.
Yeah, and that's something that we need to absolutely get spot on in this game. I've said a few times sort of over the last few weeks that we need a reaction, and I think that's the reaction that we need to see. You can't be letting them have free headers in the box from corners. It's just it can't happen again. And if we were to concede like that again, you'd be pretty annoyed. You'd think that that's probably what we've worked on this week, because it's the obvious route for West Ham to take. But I think just not underestimating West Ham is key now. I think we've been guilty of that a few times this season, and I think you just need to go into it treating it as a really difficult game, but a game that we really should be winning and that we need to win, I think, now.
Do you know what it is, though, as well? Like, I think we're the underestimating thing, I'm not, maybe, possibly, but it's just daft mistakes. Like nobody's marking their number nine, who's superb in the air. Nobody. He's got a free running jump at a corner. Like, the mess of the first goal against Everton, the way we conceded against Fulham, why are we taking a quick fucking goal kick on, you know, on half time? Basically, it's just daft. Like, we need to cut out the mad decisions. I think that's what's key for us here, because surely, I think even themselves, the players would deal with, as we probably did in the game, actually deal with the set pieces better. You just don't go and do that again, do you? Themselves, never mind the coaching staff.
What I would say, Sam, as well, they have got more than a set play, because like I'm saying, in Antonio, Kudus, Paqueta, Bowen, maybe Ward-Prowse, depending on how they play. I know Ward-Prowse played a little bit more advanced in absence of Bowen against Palace. They've got genuine goal threats from open play, and they've shown that all season. I'm just looking at the table now. I know they're not having the greatest season, but 54 goals is all right. It's a decent return. You know what I mean? It's not fantastic. It's middle of the road. Their problem's been how many they've conceded. At the back, they've been really poor. They've conceded 63 goals, which is the most, pretty much, until you get to Luton, Burnley and Sheffield United. I mean, Sheffield United don't want to concede the goal, which is mad. But other than that, no other team has conceded more than West Ham. Their problem hasn't been scoring goals, it's been keeping them out. Both ways, Liverpool might get chances, can you take them? But also, they have got a decent goal threat. There's some good players there. Like, there's a couple there who I think Liverpool wouldn't be, you know. I think Jared Bowen was definitely on the radar a while ago, maybe that ship's there, but Paqueta was almost joining Man City until the scandal he got caught up in. Kudus, I think most people have been keeping an eye on him this summer. They've got some good players.
They have, yeah, and there's a lot of space there for both teams to run into, like you say, which I think is going to be key. Yeah, I do like a lot of what I think. One of the things that Bowen's underrated for, don't know if you lads agree, is his work off the ball as well.
Oh, his pressing's amazing.
I think Paqueta's good at that. But he doesn't want to be running around the pitch and making big challenges. I think so. Some of those players that you mentioned, I'm not sure what Kudos is like off the ball, whether he's someone who likes to get it or whether he's just a kind of forward thinking player. I think maybe that's where West Ham come unstuck, is that when they haven't got the ball, are those lads able to work as hard to win it back or in the right areas and stuff like that? Because they shouldn't be conceding set pieces themselves, let alone scoring them, because the size of them. But yeah, it's a real odd one to call which way it's going to go, isn't it? Because of the form we're in.
I'm just checking the latest on Bowen, was that he was David Moyes, he's sweating on the fitness. He missed training yesterday.
Yeah.
We had no update today. Aguerd as well missed. That's why Agbonna started the other day, because Aguerd missed. And he missed training again yesterday. So West Ham do have a couple of issues, but they have got some good players. Let's flip it to the Liverpool side then. I'll start with you, George, the manager. Again, decision to make in terms of the team. We've been banging this drum for a while on every single show, deciding who's playing centre half next to Virgil van Dijk. Ibu Konate got dragged off the other day. I mean, he wasn't arrested, he got subbed off. Like, you don't sub your centre half off, really, unless he's having a stinker, and Ibu was having a bit of a stinker. Do you think we've seen Jürgen do this in the past? You know, famously Dejan Lovren got hooked and was like, that's the end of him when he played. You know, he's back in straight away and Jürgen put some trust in him. But it feels like Jadon Sancho maybe is ahead of Ibu in terms of form at the moment. What do you think he's going to do, and what would you do?
It's a difficult one because, I mean, Klopp only has 4 games left. So if he doesn't start Konate and there's a bit of a falling out there, it doesn't matter. You know, the new manager's going to come in and pick his starting 11 anyway. So I don't think that necessarily the loyalty will be there to Konate. There's not the need to bring him back in. If Quansa is performing better in training, he's been in decent form all season, really. I think, yeah, you probably should bring Quansa in. And Konate's been poor the last sort of 4 or 5 games, really. So, Quansa's looks like he's up and coming, especially when you've got the new manager coming in. I think it's a really good opportunity because Slot will be watching this game. It's a good opportunity for Quansa if he does start to really grab it and leave his mark on the
game. Do you think the manager will pick him?
I don't know whether he will. I would pick Quansa, don't know whether Quansa will.
I think he struggled against Calvert-Lewin because Calvert-Lewin gets up high. I think that's where when he's on it, which seems to be 2 games a season against Liverpool these days, but when he's on it, he gets up high and above defenders, and I think that's where Konate struggled. I think where Antonio doesn't get up high, he's a big unit who gets in, and
I think, hold it up.
I think that's where Konate is much, much better than Quansa, is that if Antonio gets into shoulder to shoulder with Quansa early, I don't know if he's ready in the same. Did someone mention about Dan's playing a game? I thought it was one of the old legends against Everton. It's like, no, why would you do that to him? It's like the wrong game for him, or coming on or whatever. I feel like Antonio could be the wrong player for Quansa right now. Half of me says we should just play Quansa to the end of the season and see what he's got. Same with
I think if Jürgen was staying,
I sort of just wonder whether he looks at that and goes, he's probably going to run that channel, and we just need someone who's quick and has got that power. And I think Konate could just bundle him over in the first 5 minutes, and then that change. I'm not sure Quansa can do that.
Makes sense. Let's talk fullbacks then. I'll stick with you, Sam. The manager mentioned in his press comment he name checked Trent as one of the players who he said, you know, brilliant against Fulham. You know, wasn't 100% against Everton. Obviously, the quick turnaround, no minutes in his legs. You know, the fact that him and Andy Robertson get taken off at one point shows that they were probably running on empty. So at fullback, the manager's options. He's still got Joe Gomez. There's no Conor Bradley available.
Yeah.
Obviously, Robertson, Trent, Tim McCarthy's there. Although last time he played, he didn't cover himself in glory. I wouldn't be shocked if Gomez started either at right back or left back. In fact, I'd probably be surprised if he didn't. I just haven't quite figured out which one it'll be.
Probably for me more like a right back. I think Robertson, I think with Trent there's definitely an element of, it's a bit like in Italy, he took Trent off, could he have maybe done another 10 minutes, maybe one more passing him, but it's like you understand as a manager when where the game's going, and keeping Trent on the pitch is probably not going to change anything now. So take him off, rest them. So I think there's a chance Trent plays because he's Trent, and if he feels like he's fit now because he's been back 4 or 5 games, to maybe just go and then he gets that week off and finish the season. So I'm not sure whether he'd waste a game in not having Trent, and I think 30 minutes isn't going to be enough. So there's that. There's also, yeah, Gomez is fresher, but he has been coming on every game, so it's not like he's not been playing. I personally would go with the same back five again. I just think that, just crack on. You know, Arsenal have done it all season. You know, City have a lot of the time. I don't understand why we can't. I know, I'm sure Trent have to play 80 minutes against Everton on a small pitch. He has. It's not like he was up and down, backtracking a lot of the time, was he?
I didn't even jump for their goal.
Well, there you go. Yeah, he's bullied or anything. But I would personally, it was just, it's Trent Alexander-Arnold. I'd just go again. I just don't think he doesn't start any game between now and the end of the season.
What do you think, George?
Yeah, I agree. I think that you probably now, with just the running left, just go for it
and take him off. Play him until the tank's empty. Yeah.
And then you've got 2 months off to recover. Just push for it. I think that if he is on the edge of needing a rest, then this is the game to do it, because you definitely want him back for Spurs.
But after today, because there's no mid. Sorry, after tomorrow, it's a game a week.
That's
and,
it.
And they don't play till Spurs on Sunday. So they get like 7-8 days off, and then they get. Then it's the Monday after, so they get like another day. Yeah. So there's big gaps coming. So it just depends. Like, say, what you got in the tank. But I still think Gomez will start. Actually, yeah. I think the fact that Klopp name checked him in the press conference probably suggests he's probably not going to recover in time. Early kickoff on the Saturday and that kind of stuff. I wouldn't be shocked. I think it would be probably Robertson and Gomez. But I'd like to see Trent. I'm with you.
Yeah.
Depends how. I always think a manager will only start a player if he can get 60 out of him. If he thinks if he can't get 60 out of him, then he's coming.
And I suppose that's where he is, isn't he? Yeah, we don't know that.
Yeah,
either way, Gomez plays.
He did knackered, though, didn't they? Both of them did, actually. Robertson looked the same.
I think all three are on the pitch, aren't they, at some point?
Yeah, I wouldn't be shocked if Kostas played. I know he was poor against Atalanta, but Robbo looked absolutely goosed the other day as well.
If we were next week and both teams pull a win off on the weekend, I think Kostas could play. But I just don't think, while there's still a chance, he's like, look, no offence to him, but he's not the guy for me.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. JD Power ranks Sleep Number number 1 in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For JD Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Anyway,
yeah, fair enough. Let's talk midfield then, because again, loads of options. It was interesting, Sam Astley, because you were like,
yeah,
the lads who played really well against Fulham then were left out against Everton.
Yeah,
there is a case to just go all three of them and come back straight back in. Like, there is genuinely a case for that if he wanted to do it. I imagine he'll still want to keep Alexis McAllister on the pitch if he can. But you know, if you're looking at the options at the moment between Szoboszlai, Jones, Elliot, Gravenberch, McAllister, Endo, they're probably the six.
They are the six.
I don't think I'm missing anyone. No one else is really there yet. Form wise, I'd say mate, Elliot is probably in the best form.
Yeah.
Gravenberch had a good, well, he scored a good goal. He was okay against Fulham. The rest of it's a little bit up and down.
Yeah, I think, like, the thing is, where I feel sorry for Elliot, and Elliot's a real, strangely, for such a young player who's a big Liverpool fan as well, he polarises our fan base so much, I don't know why. Like, but The problem I have with Elliot is that I feel sorry for him because he starts games where the team's mixed up to hell, and then he comes off the bench and has a real impact where he's got a strong team. If he could start a game in his favourite position with what would be conceived as Liverpool's best team, you might start to see a proper player from the beginning of the game. But, you know, when he's starting with a whole new midfield, two new wingers and two fullbacks who are new, maybe even a centre-half and a sub-goalkeeper, what do you expect from him? He's only 20, 21, just turned to come on and just take it away. That's not what happens. So I want to see him now start, unless he really stinks the gaff out or gets injured. I want to see him start the last four games at right centre midfield for us. I think he now deserves it, and we're in a position where we've got nothing to lose. So Szoboszlai is clearly struggling. It's hard coming into Liverpool Football Club. Well, no, take away from Liverpool. It's hard coming into the Premier League and playing a full season anyway, let alone the amount, 58 games, whatever, we'll have played 60 games, something like that. And then add to that the fact that Trent said something on his overlap interview about how intense it is to join a Jurgen Klopp team. It's not just something that you just join another club and it's the same. It's not the same. He's definitely feeling the effects of that, plus his injury. So I think he needs to be taken out the limelight and used as an impact sub. And the other two, I think it's dead easy. I think for this game tomorrow it's Endo. In fact, I think it's Endo for the next 3 weeks. Maybe Wolves will be different type of games you play. I think he's got to play. We need a defensive minded midfielder, and Macher's probably the best choice for left centre.
I agree. That's the midfield I picked, George.
Yeah, I agree completely. I think we look more balanced with Endo in the team. Obviously, he's not had the best of games.
Sorry to interrupt you, buddy. I do apologise. Yeah, the only thing it's worth mentioning, that's a small midfield. We are talking before about West Ham's physical prowess. They're going to probably have Suchek and Alvarez and Antonio. And that might play into Jürgen's mind a little bit, George, because Endo, McAllister, Elliot is probably the smallest midfield Liverpool could put out in terms of height.
Yeah, but I think even if you put Gravenberch in, as big as he is, he doesn't look like a particularly physical player. I think that is maybe a profile that Liverpool are missing a bit at the moment.
Sabo's a decent,
it's meant to be Sabo's, like, isn't it? Yeah.
But yeah, I think that McAllister, I think, has to start if he's fit enough to. And I think if you can have Endo behind him, I think it frees him up a bit to go a bit further forwards. I think he looks better for us when he's not playing in that six. I don't see why you wouldn't give Elliot the chance now. I think Szoboszlai has had the chance to prove himself over the last few games. There's no point in running him into the ground now if he's not. It's different if he's giving you loads and looks tired, but he's not been great and he does look knackered. So yeah, I think just give Elliot that chance to prove himself properly.
Do you know the option, like I say, Ro says he, Bacetic, he's played for the under 23s a little bit. I don't see why Liverpool would rush him back now into I like Bacetic, and going into next season he is that type of physical midfield that Liverpool might be interested in, and he's massive. He had a real growth spurt, saw him live not too long ago. But it just feels like, what's the point now? You know what I mean? The only way you could probably do it is just to give him a boost before the end of the season.
Yeah, I'd be intrigued to see if we could squeeze him on the bench. With having no Jota and Bradley probably this week, maybe against Spurs, we don't know where they're both at, but with having no Jota and Bradley, the bench probably has one space for, like it was Jadon Dans the other day when Gakpo fell. I don't know if there was anybody else young on there.
Yeah, it was Van Clark.
So you've got one space there. You could probably have Bacetic on there, and if we are in a strong position with 10 minutes to go, a bit like we had at Fulham, you could just bring him on to, you know, just sort of get him some minutes in his legs and sort of get him back feeling like he's a first teamer again. You know, it probably goes the same the last few games of the season, depending on how the season pans out. If you've got nothing to play for at the end, maybe you could start and come off. I don't know, but I don't think he were ready for to see Bacetic just yet. I think it's about, like you say, it's about next season.
I think it's just what's the point?
Yeah,
if it's rushing him back when he's not fit. Right then, I've been all through the whole. You have me to see, I've been watching the live chat through the YouTube. Yeah. The amount of times I've seen Jadon Dans's name pop up.
No.
Give Dans a start. There's loads of it. Everyone's quite fed up, I think, at this moment in time, George, with Liverpool's forward options. It's worth mentioning Cody Gakpo is back. He's ready. He trained yesterday. He's been trained today. Congratulations to Cody Gakpo and his missus, little boy. I think he said Samuel. But anyway,
good, strong name. Not the UL, but Sam's a great name. Well done, Cody.
Little Sam Gakpo. I think I'm right in saying that. I think I heard Jürgen say that on the press conference. Excuse me if that's wrong, but yeah, Gakpo's back. He starts, doesn't he?
Got to, yeah. He's fresh.
Where?
Left mid.
Who's right mid?
Salah.
Who's up front?
Nunes.
So Diaz out for you?
He wasn't going to play against Everton because he was clearly like
he was the only one against Everton.
Yeah, but he wasn't going to play, and he was the only one who continued to run, and it was a game for him. I just think that it's pointless playing him again if he's not quite got everything, because Nunes and Salah missed Fulham. It just doesn't make any sense for Diaz to play that game. It's not like he's been banging goal. He missed the sitter himself, by the way, as bad as Nunes was. So I think, as good as he was, I would be starting Gakpo from the left, where I think is probably the only place he can play at the moment, if I'm being honest with you.
And if that's the case, it's almost like they've all done two a little bit, you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly that.
That might have been that was the plan. Cody Gakpo was going to start that game.
Yeah, he was.
Just until he got called away. So yeah, you are right. I think that's a hard sell, though, I'll be honest, George. I was thinking of leaving Salah out.
Who plays right then?
Diaz.
Oh, right, yeah. Maybe.
Gakpo, Diaz, Nunes. And listen, I'm not thrilled with Darwin's form at the moment either.
No.
But I think on that big pitch, you need to stretch West Ham a little bit. Salah hasn't run in behind all season. We haven't seen none of that. And I'm listening, Mo Salah's a legend, he's a genius, but he's clearly struggling,
yeah.
Whether it's form or fitness or a bit of both. If Jota, listen, we've got no Jota, that is what it is. What would you do?
I don't know. I think I would Salah, Nunes, and Gakpo on the left. I think that's probably the.
I'm amazed that you're leaving Diaz out.
It's just purely because
I get the legs thing, but I'm amazed. The only one in after, well, him and Gakpo are in all right form.
If you, but I think they are two of the only forwards in good form, but they both only really look good on the left hand side, I think.
I thought
only between the halfway line and the box, because once we get in the box, they're just as bad as the others.
I thought Diaz was decent on the right against Fulham.
Yeah, he was, to be fair. He was.
Yeah, it's not his best position though, but no. I'd rather have Diaz fully fit to play 90 against Spurs next weekend than 60 now and maybe not against Spurs at all.
Yeah. I don't know.
I think you could also maybe see Elliot on the right wing rather than on the right side of midfield.
Possibly.
To give Salah a rest. I mean, rest. Does he need a rest? Is it dropping him?
But if Salah doesn't play, he's not getting rest. He's getting dropped.
But yeah, that's it now.
I'm not getting rested.
Yeah,
the only one who would be getting rested would be Diaz.
Because
whoever doesn't play now is getting dropped.
And it's the same thing with Konate that I mentioned earlier. Like, I don't think that with just four games left, there's not the... Klopp's not going to be worried about pissing Salah off. And if you want to bench him...
No, I don't think he's bothered anymore. Yeah.
Bench him. But it's just, yeah, without Jota there... Who do you really have to do? You just, I get four games left. Do you just play Diaz every game that you can and hope that he doesn't get injured?
Who's left back for West Ham? Is it, there's a lad called Johnson who plays, I'm not sure which side it is. I'm not sure who plays left back. I'm just thinking, is it Emerson?
Yeah.
It's because what I'm thinking is like, it's a bigger pitch. Salah got marked out. He wasn't even able to get going against Everton. We didn't actually get him the ball in any decent positions at times and stuff like that. But I think it's Mo Salah, isn't it? It's like Man U with Bruno Fernandes when he's stinking the place out. He still plays. He's been really good for him recently, but he still plays because they know he can just do something. You know, I think that's maybe what Klopp are thinking. I think there's a big question with Salah. I think with Nunes, the mad thing is with Nunes is that if he doesn't play, we will not create as many chances as we will if he does.
100%.
He's got to do better.
He might not score them either. Yeah,
yeah, but here's the thing, like. Klopp said it in his press conference. I did listen to most of it on the way in. But Klopp said it. He said, if you're a striker, you've got to find it again. But one of the problems that we have at our club is that, because especially this year, Klopp's tried to almost equalise all the forwards out. Whereas if you look at City, Haaland just plays all the time. He might not score for six games. He's been awful this season, like really bad. He's had his patches of goals, but he's been a really bad player for them this year, like Salah has for us. But he plays because he'll get a goal and he'll score three or four. The problem with Nunes is, yes, his finishing's been stinking, and you know he should have scored the other day. But he does do lots of good little things. But how is he gonna find that form if he has a bad game against Everton, gets pulled out, and then just gets dropped against West Ham? Like, and then he comes on for 20 minutes and doesn't really get a sniff because we're struggling. It's 1-1, and then we end up drawing. For him, we've either got to decide whether he's our number nine and play him now for the last four games and say, this is your opportunity to score three goals in four games or get some assists. And then next season, you've got, you know, 20 goals to go into next season and improve again. Or you go, you know what, you're getting sold in the summer. Gakpo, you're playing up front, so sad. I think we've got to kind of make a decision. We can't keep pulling them out and dropping them in and out again, because how do you find that form and rhythm?
Yeah, I think it's so hard to make that. Yeah. Decision with Klopp going though. With it,
yeah.
It's the new manager coming in, and once it's been announced and confirmed. Maybe you can ask him what his plans for Nunes are. I'd be surprised if Nunes goes.
But same.
It is just one of those. And if West Ham have conceded, you know, the fourth most goals in the league, who is there a better team for Nunes to play against?
They've got the best goalie in the world.
The problem we've got, I think, at the moment, Sam, is that Liverpool's two best goal scorers in terms of strikers, one's injured and one's in bad form. Yeah. The next one is Nunes, who's
scored more this season, Jota or Nunes? Because if it's Nunes, then Nunes is the better goal scorer, because you can say all you want about percentages, but if he scored more, then he scored more.
In terms of the season, I can get the goals up in a
I think Nunes has got 18. I don't know what Salah's on. Jota's
close. Is this all comps? Or
anything? Yeah.
Well, Jota hasn't played too many games, but I can get that's always...
But he has scored quite a lot of goals, Jota.
Jota is... three behind Nunes,
okay.
Only one fewer in the league. He's played way less minutes.
Yeah, no, he has.
The issue we've got, Sam, is that to go back to it. Jota's injured. Salah's in bad form. Nunes is in bad form.
Yeah,
the two forwards who are in the best form are Diaz and Gakpo, yeah. But they're six and eight league goals. They're not your prolific. So that's the problem with Liverpool. The informed forwards, the lads who don't bang the goals in.
Yeah.
And the lads who do get the goals are injured or in bad form, and that's kind of the mess we're in now. Jürgen's got to decide the weekend, do I go with form?
Yeah.
Because if he goes with form, it's Gakpo, Diaz and one other.
Yeah.
But if it's on Pedri, whatever you do, it does feel like one of Salah and Nunes is going to start, and he's got to make that decision.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think if I'm Klopp, I'm thinking to myself, if I'm in West Ham shoes, who would I least want to play against? And it's probably Nunes and Diaz, actually, because Gakpo does lots of good things, but as soon as he gets near the box, he seems to make interesting decisions, and not quite. It's not all quite there at the moment. Maybe he was thinking about his baby coming for the few weeks before, but I think that's what I would look at, is that defenders have said all season Nunes is a nightmare, and actually he's a little bit in the same as Diaz and Gakpo. Not as much Diaz, I think he's been brilliant this season, this half season, but he's a little bit the same as Gakpo, is that actually, if you look at the Everton game, there's three or four shots Salah gets off that come from Nunes. There's a header that he plays to Diaz. There's bits he's doing well, there's bits he's stinking in as well, but so it's a little bit similar to Gakpo, in that Gakpo's doing some really good stuff outside the box, and so is Diaz. What we really need is that 18-yard box being, you know, where we're actually clinical. So I would look at it from this perspective, is who would I want, if I was West Ham, who would I least want to play against? Nunes. And if Nunes has a good game, who's most likely to benefit from that? It's probably Salah. So therefore, them two would be the two that I play for me.
Okay, fair enough. I am going Gakpo, Diaz, either side of Nunes is what I'm doing. What are you doing, George?
Yeah, Salah, Nunes, and then Gakpo on the left, I think, is... probably.
Honestly, Luis Diaz is fuming at you two, absolutely. I know. Raging. There's no ideal solution, because there's at least one lad who's in bad nick. That's what I was doing.
Who's best off the bench out the four? Because that's also another pivotal. Who do we think's most impactful off the bench? Because I don't think Gakpo's been that impactful off the bench.
None of them. Josh is the one who's best off the bench.
Yeah, and that might also
maybe
play
Diaz,
into that.
Diaz is probably the most.
When you put it all together, that might be your best win-win situation then, isn't it?
Get half an hour of Diaz run at them. Maybe, yeah, it's interesting. Right then, guys, thanks very much. We'll start wrapping that one up there. Before we do, Sam, do you think they'll get back to winning ways Saturday afternoon? We know Jürgen's favourite kick-off time. Tough game.
Yeah.
It's one that they just need to get some confidence back more than anything. There is there's the thing of just making sure, double check, slamming the door on Tottenham and Aston Villa behind you, but do you think they'll do it?
I think this weekend could be really important, because I think Sunday is tricky for both of the other two teams, and it could actually end up swinging a little bit back open, not fully, but a little bit. So I think we've got to at least give ourselves that opportunity too. I think R12 helps us with their atmosphere not being probably the best it could possibly be, and I think 3-1's a score we've seen a lot this season.
Yep. George?
Yeah, I'm going to go 2-0 to Liverpool.
Love
that.
That clean sheet, wow.
I think that, again, like you said earlier, it's silly little mistakes that I hope now we've seen enough of them that you can just focus. I think that the pressure will be off a little bit, because if no one's expecting us to win the league now from this position, if you lose... oh well, make sure you win the other three games to get top four. So I think that maybe you can just go into that focus. You just need to get the 3 points. There's no real bigger picture. You can just focus on that for 90 minutes.
Can I have one more thing in just before we finish? Sorry, Steve. I'd love, right? I think one of the reasons why we haven't been, you know, we were all saying, oh, Liverpool are going to be extra motivated because Klopp's leaving. I actually think Klopp's probably tried to play that down loads. Like, this is not my last derby. This is not about me. It's not about me. He's probably pushed that really hard because he's a very selfless human being. I would love them to be like, fuck, lads, I've got four games left now.
Do it for me.
Do it for me. Give me something. Flip it. And I think it could work.
You know, your new manager's watching as well. You want to stay here?
Yeah.
Have a little look at this one. Yeah, can we know who he is now, or pretty much anyway. Yeah. I think 2-1 to Liverpool. but I'm not wholly confident that I believe that. I don't know. Yeah, just it's going to be, I think it's going to be tough, but we'll find out how it goes. Right then, guys, thanks so much for joining me today for the preview show. Guys, at home, thank you as well for tuning in, watching or listening. We have got a watch along live with the game tomorrow afternoon. You've got Elle and Chris in the watch along studio. We'll be live on YouTube first at 11:15, reacting to the team news, and then at 12:15 for the entirety of the watch along. So if you want someone to chill with and watch the game when you're watching it on your own, come and join us on YouTube. And we'll have a big old blast of a time. And very, very quick before we go, we do have loads of content around Arne Slot as well. We've spoken to Jouta Shearer, formerly of Liverpool, also a final played under Arne Slot. We've got interviews out already with Andy Brassel, European football expert. We've got loads more coming as well, and as soon as anything does develop on that, then please do get involved. That is all available for you over on redmenplus.com. So yeah, if you want to celebrate Liverpool's new very, very, very handsome, gorgeous manager, redmenplus.com is the place to go. And if you use his surname, Slot, S-L-O-T, as a promo code when you sign up as a yearly captain, there you go, look how gorgeous he is on that graphic there, you'll get 50% off. So you'll get a year subscription for half price in honour of the gorgeous Arne Slot. And if he doesn't end up being the manager, we'll never speak of this promotion code again. Right then, thanks very much for watching, thanks for listening, see you all soon, everyone.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.